We take a break from our regular sermon series in order to join a number of other churches in our classes in giving attention to Psalm 67 and to the subject of missions and evangelism. The sermon title today, taken from our passage, "Let all the peoples praise you, O God." This was Israel's prayer that God would shine upon them and somehow use them to bring salvation to all the peoples of the earth, that a countless multitude might join Israel in worshiping the living God. That's really the essence of this prayer. Let's read it now, the holy and living word of God from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Word of God from Psalm 67. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, it is Missions Emphasis Week here in Classes Central U.S., an opportunity for us to give special attention to the cause of missions, outreach, evangelism, the making and growing of more disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, that can be a very joyous and encouraging activity, but it must not ever become a rare thing in the life of any congregation or in our personal lives. We must always keep missions in focus. Friends, we must always have our mission in focus, which will keep us actively engaged in loving service to our neighbors, evangelism toward the lost, supporting missions throughout the whole world, and striving, yes, even as a small congregation here in Des Moines, eventually, by God's grace, to plant more churches. Why must we be so focused on that great mission? Well, friends, because this is the very identity of the Christian church, which belongs to the living God, who is himself on mission to the world. Our theme this morning: God is seeking a multitude of worshipers from all nations who will glorify God and enjoy him forever, and he has a church for this mission. At the end of Matthew 28, the risen Christ gives a mission to his church, right? The Great Commission passage is what I'm talking about. The mission he gives his church: to go and make disciples of all nations. So, you see, brothers and sisters, it is true that the church has a great mission. But lest we put that mission alongside one of many other things we want to do as a church, we must understand that it is ultimately God's mission, which means it should be at the heart of everything the church is doing. That mission has brought salvation to us believers gathered into the church today. By God's amazing grace, we rejoice in salvation through his grace in Jesus Christ. Mission accomplished for us, for you and me who believe on Jesus. But salvation turns us into the agents. It turns the church into the instrument through which God will bring salvation, yes, indeed, to all peoples. I don't mean to each and every person, but to all the peoples, all the tribes, to all nations, until the worship of God covers the earth. Look, friends, Psalm 67 is the nation of Israel realizing again that God is seeking a multitude of worshipers from all nations who will glorify that God and enjoy Him forever. And it's their realization that God has a church, yes, Israel, for that mission to be accomplished. Notice the beginning of the psalm once again. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make His face to shine upon us, that your way, there's the prayer, that your way, O God, may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So my first point, friends, Israel prayed for God to shine for the sanctifying of His priestly people, who would bring all nations to join them in the worship of God. Again, Israel prayed for God to shine for the sanctifying of His priestly people. That would be Israel, who would bring all nations to join them in the worship of God. That's basically what Psalm 67 is. It's a prayer, in the first place, a prayer for sanctification, so that Israel, having received the light of salvation, would in turn reflect that light to all other peoples for their salvation. Do you see this? We might call this a prayer for effective and fruitful evangelism. Notice how verse 1 is basically the Aaronic blessing. That word of grace which God gave Israel through the high priest Aaron, and later through his sons, the priestly sons of Aaron, the Aaronic order of priests. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. Sounds rather like Numbers 6, doesn't it? 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see the Aaronic blessing right there in the start of the psalm. Now, Israel already received the grace of salvation when God rescued them out of Egypt. It's the great act of salvation, right, in the Old Testament. But Israel prayed here that God would shine on them, for they knew themselves to be sinners in need of sanctification, for God to change them, so that they would grow in the knowledge of their God, would fear this God, so that they'd grow in the joy of their salvation and be equipped by God to walk in gratitude as His holy people. For only then, you see, could Israel function as that instrument by which God becomes known to all other peoples. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. At least at this point, friends, Israel realized that they received God's saving grace so that they might somehow extend that grace to all other nations. I hope you see this. It is the theme of Psalm 67. If you get nothing else today, that's what you have to get. At this point, Israel, and I say at this point because they're not always cognizant of this, but here they realize that they received God's grace so that they might somehow extend that grace, the light of God's salvation, to all other nations. They were made to know the living God so that they'd be able to make Him known to the world. They were blessed so that they would be a blessing to others. In other words, Israel realized that as surely as they received Aaron's priestly blessing, their very identity was to be God's priestly people. Exodus 19, it's where God identifies Israel as a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Not just the Levites, they're priests, they have a special job, but God says through Moses, you as a whole nation, my holy people, my holy nation, you are a kingdom of priests. A royal priesthood of people with a mission to bring all nations to know the living God, to receive His saving grace and join Israel in offering God joyful praise. You see that there, friends? The point of all missions and evangelism, you must understand what ultimately drives it. What is the ultimate goal? Verses 3 and 4, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. There is Israel's ultimate goal. Not to be a false priesthood of those who hoard God's blessings for themselves, but to be that true priestly people who delight in their God and Savior to such a degree that they are compelled to cause other nations to know this God, to know Him as their Savior, and to join Israel in worshiping this God and Savior. Friends, the mission of God and the mission of the church is to expand the worship of God until people everywhere learn to glorify our God and enjoy Him forever. In his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, you may recognize that title, he takes it from this very psalm. John Piper says this, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Not to the extent that it should. Missions exist because worship somewhere, in many places, doesn't exist. Worship, John Piper says, worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. You see? But of course, worship will continue forever. John Piper's point there, friends, is not that missions or evangelism is unimportant. Just the opposite. Evangelism, outreach, missions, the making and growing of disciples, so important because this is the way sinners will receive God's saving grace for reconciliation with God through the blood and righteousness of Christ, so that they are transformed into true worshipers of God. For worship to increase in the earth, the mission must advance. Mission, so very important, but penultimate. The ultimate thing, worship everywhere. For worship to increase in the earth, the mission must advance. And Israel knew their mission was based on that promise which God made to Israel's father, Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, God says to Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. You know what, brothers and sisters? That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission God gave to Abraham. God extended his saving grace to Israel's forefather so that Abraham, having been so blessed, would ultimately become a blessing to all the families of the earth. Dear saints, it is that promise. You read it in Genesis 12. It comes up again in Genesis 13 and in 15 and in 17 and in 21. It's over and over again. It's very much the thing that's driving the story of God and the patriarchs. That great promise at the very foundation of the covenant of grace is what establishes God's church as a so that people. I don't know if you've heard this before. Heard it said that the church is a so that people. You've heard so that half a dozen times from my mouth already this morning. But that's because, dear friends, it's here in Psalm 67. You're asking where? Well, God be gracious to us and shine on us. Verse 2, so that your way may be known on earth and that all people might praise you. You see? It's here in Psalm 67, friends. It's there in Genesis 12. It's all over Scripture. From the beginning and all the way to the end, what we find again and again is that God has been on a mission to save a countless multitude of people from all nations so that they might glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You see, for worship, ultimately. And He has a church for that mission to continue all throughout history. He saved Israel to give them that greatest joy of kingdom salvation, the blessing of life under God's good dominion. But God also saved Israel so that this priestly people would bring others into the joy of kingdom salvation. Notice verses 4 and 5 once again. Kingdom salvation, I'm always calling it. Why? Well, notice. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you God, judge the peoples with equity. That's His good judgment. His care of all, His ruling in righteousness, and you guide the nations upon the earth. He's the great provider, the one who governs all things in His kind, most wise, and beneficent providence. Worship, you see, friends, is a celebration of kingdom salvation. Not just salvation, but kingdom salvation. Because when God graciously saves sinners, He forgives our sins. And ultimately imparts to us the freedom to live a new life under His most wise and righteous dominion as king. Israel concludes the prayer with an expression of confidence that God would do it. That He would bless Israel, that their nation would somehow be used of God to win all the nations over to the worship of God. Look at those last couple of verses with me. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Perhaps the nation of Israel experienced a plentiful harvest there in the promised land. The earth has yielded its increase. Did you catch that in verse 6? Why is that there? They probably had a plentiful harvest. But you see, friends, here is Israel's confidence that God would also bless them beyond plentiful harvest of crops, you see. He'd bless them, shine upon them, be gracious to them, sanctify them, so that Israel could be a blessing to other nations. So that, ultimately, God would enjoy a harvest of souls who glorify God and enjoy Him forever. As many of you know, the nation of Israel did not always have such a sense of being God's so that people. In fact, they began to presume upon God's kindness and imagined that the blessings were for them alone, not for the other nations, not for the Gentiles. And they imagined that those blessings would automatically remain with Israel, no matter how they lived. The Lord God showed them otherwise, booting them out of the promised land, banishing thankless and faithless Israel from Canaan. But God preserved a remnant. There in exile, He preserved a people for Himself, and He gave them hope. Through the prophets, God continued to promise them that He would raise up one Israelite, the Messiah, that anointed greater son of David, a savior king through whom God would indeed fulfill His mission at long last. Listen, friends, you don't have to turn there with me, but listen to just one prophetic promise, Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6. And now Yahweh says, He who formed me from the womb to be His servant. And yes, this is Isaiah speaking, but Messiah speaking through Isaiah, okay? He's formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, that Israel might be gathered to Him. See, Israel's in exile. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, this is what God says about the coming Messiah, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. Now listen, Isaiah 49:6. I will make you, God says to the Messiah, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Son of God has come into the world in Jesus Christ. You know this, brothers and sisters. He is the light for the nations. He's the light of God who does indeed expose the darkness of this world, but also graciously rescues us out of that darkness. Praise God. This is what Jesus says in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My second point, friends, and I conclude with this today. God has made the saving light of Christ to shine on us and turn us into the priesthood by which he wins the nations for worship. Let's apply Psalm 67 to Christ in the first place, but through him, we will apply it to ourselves here in conclusion. Again, God has made the saving light of Christ to shine on us and turn us into the priesthood by which he wins the nations for worship. The nation of Israel failed to fulfill this God-given mission about which we read in Psalm 67. But God could not fail. He sent his own son to become that one Israelite, Abraham's one offspring, who would bless all the families of the earth with kingdom salvation. God's gracious gift for everyone who trusts in the person and work of Christ Jesus. Listen, by his obedient life under the law, by his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus has once and for all reconciled sinners to God. He's done it. Mission accomplished. And he is no longer dead, but raised. And the Savior King now lives to pour out salvation upon all sinners who call on him in faith. Sinners love the dark and have no desire to worship God or walk in his light. But if you want peace with God, if today you want the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven, that you have life everlasting with God in his glorious kingdom, turn from your godless ways. Confess your sins to God and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, through whose blood and righteousness you will have the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. It's the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus, who even now shines the light, the saving light of God upon sinners throughout the world, bringing them out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And if that has happened to you as a genuine believer, if you, by God's grace, you've been brought out of the darkness in Jesus Christ, brought into God's light, you are no longer his enemy, but an adopted child of God, a member of his family, and you can no longer live in the perversity of your sin, for he has turned you into a member of his holy priesthood. In conclusion, friends, we read a few things here from 1 Peter 2. You can turn there in your Bibles with me if you like. In any case, listen to what the Apostle Peter writes about our being a priesthood in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, that is to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, worship, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You'll notice there, friends, God has redeemed us believers in Christ for worship. The saving light of Christ shines on us so that we are turned into this priesthood of worshipers who return love to God who first loved us and gave up his own son, even to die for us. And of course, there is nothing more fitting for the forgiven than to fear our God and Savior, especially by offering Him most grateful and joyful praise. See, Peter means for us Christians to understand that Christ Jesus has turned us into the true Israel of God. I know many of you have heard this quite a few times from this pulpit. But friends, it is so vital to the mission of this congregation, the mission that drives you in all of your worship and in all of your witness and in all of your work and whatever you do. Listen to what he goes on to say later in chapter 2, just a few verses later. We are that priesthood people who now live to proclaim the praises of our God and Savior. Verse 9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen race." Now, these are titles that God gave first to Israel, I remind you, Exodus 19. But now Peter applies them to the church, whether Jew or Gentile. This is who we are. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, in mercy, our God has made His saving light to shine on strangers and enemies, not merely to make it possible for us to come out of the darkness. No, Christ shines with such sovereign saving power, as Peter puts it here, that He effectively delivers us out of the darkness of our sin and brings us into the light of God and His kingdom, so that we Gentile believers now worship God in truth, and so that we can serve as God's priestly people whose witness will win more of the nations to worship. This is exactly where Peter goes. Verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Dear saints, God answered Israel's prayer, the Psalm 67 prayer, by sending Jesus, His Son, who in a sense has already fulfilled the mission of Israel. For look at all these Gentiles here and in all of the world today who are worshiping God in joy through faith in Jesus Christ. But in another sense, Psalm 67 has further fulfillment, doesn't it? Because we, the church, still pray it, knowing that God has turned us into His true priestly people who now live to proclaim the praises of our God and Savior. Listen, part of our proclamation task, Peter mentions proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Part of our proclamation task happens in worship itself as we celebrate salvation, bask in the love of God, and praise Him for the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But of course, the other part of our proclamation task happens in our witness. As the church evangelizes people everywhere, right around us in our neighborhoods, even reaching to the ends of the earth. And as the church, as you, individual Christians, walk in holiness, practicing good works that adorn the gospel, so that many more sinners might be won over to God and glorify Him, so that they will join us, you see, in offering God acceptable praise through Jesus Christ. Our Lord gave us a very simple way to pray Psalm 67. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come." What does it mean? We confessed it earlier from our Heidelberg Catechism, answer 122. "Hallowed be Your name" means, help us, O God, truly to know You, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth in your works, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. Help us, O God, to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised through us. Your kingdom come. Father, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. O beloved people of God, make it your prayer every single day as Christ Jesus, your Lord, taught you to do. For though already saved, we are still sinners in need of the grace of forgiveness and the grace of sanctification, so that you and I might know our God, glorify and enjoy our God in such a way that countless multitudes everywhere may see the light of Christ reflecting through us and might be won over to God for worship alongside of us. Remember, dear saints, there is only one thing better than being able to glorify God and enjoy Him for ourselves, and that is being able to glorify and enjoy our God with many others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.